Can I have the first picture, Chris? So here's the first picture. And you can see Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. One of the disciples, he's washing his feet, looks a bit perplexed and a bit concerned about it all. Who do you think that might be?
Peter.
Peter, yes, good. He's concerned because he's shocked at what Jesus is doing for him. And sometimes as Jesus followers, we're shocked by what God calls us to do. We're surprised that we have to kneel down and, in a sense, wash people's feet. I wonder how we can show somebody that we know that we think they're important. That we don't think we are more important than them. We've got a piece of string on your table. If you have it, you might have it on your seat or you might have sat on it. And if there's some spare ones, I would like them because we need a few more. But if you can get hold of a piece of string, that will help you in this first practical expression of this important event. As Jesus says, I've done this for you because I want you to do this for others. Anybody not got a piece of string? How do we show that we consider others important? I've got you a piece of string there, and I want you to spend a minute or two and choose three people that you could make a difference with, that you could bless. Three people that you may think to yourself, you know, I want to show that they are important to me, that I appreciate them. So with your piece of string, let me give you a demo. You might think, Gladys, she's always popular with me. Make a little knot. All right, and then about three people. And then you put it in your pocket and you keep it to remind you. Jeff, you're looking stuck there. Like, there you go, right, there's three. Not, there's a person. Okay, I want to do something special for that person this week. I want to show them that I need to do something. Maybe I need to repair a relationship. Tie it up. Just trying to be practical, and then in the week, just keep hold of that. Maybe stick it in your Bible. It's a very flimsy bookmark. Second one, please. Can I have the second picture? At this same special event, this what we call now the sacrament or Holy Communion, but this was the Last Supper, the Passover meal. And Jesus is sharing out bread, sharing out wine, and saying, do this in remembrance of me. It's easy to forget Jesus in our daily business. It's easy to forget him at school. It's easy to forget him at college. It's easy to forget him in the retirement villa. Easy to forget. How do you remember special events? How do you remember those significant moments? I saw a picture the other day, I'm coming to you, Simon. I saw a picture the other day of Australia, and I've been to Australia once. How I remember it is I've got a plastic money box platypus that I bought in a second-hand shop for a couple of $3. And I still have it because I remember it, and that's special for me. Simon. Photographs. I go to some people's homes, they've got photographs everywhere. It's amazing. Not of themselves, but a family, you know. What other ways? Come on, kids, what do you think?
I'll keep a tape with the of the war.
Okay, that's good. How do you remember things? a calendar. Okay, you have a calendar in your bedroom. What about fridge magnets? Where you go on holiday. Maybe Megan in Spain, she's going to come home with a fridge magnet. For all of us. Different ways that we can do that. It's important to remember and find ways to do that and to remember God in our lives. Remember God's presence with us. How easy it is to forget when things are difficult. Sort of God's gone. When it's all good, oh yeah, God's presence is with me. But how do you remember? So, each of you on your table has got a piece of bread. And what I'm suggesting, you don't have to do this, but to break off a piece of bread and then pass it to the next person and say these words, remember Jesus. Can you remember that? Take a piece, remember Jesus, and you're welcome to eat a piece. It's bought from Tesco's, so it's high quality bread. How this week are you going to remember that God's presence is with you? Jesus is with you. Remembering what Jesus has done for you. What he is doing for you now. What he's going to do for you in the future. How are you going to actually live that out? Easy to talk about it. Easy to do at 10:30 on the Sunday morning. But what about Monday, 9 o'clock? Third picture, please. Jesus asked his disciples to pray for him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He needs the disciples' support. He asked the disciples to pray with him as he prays to the divine, to Jesus Christ. He wanted their support, but most of all he needed the Father God. His focus is on the Father God, but he's looking for support. One of the important aspects of fellowship, of being a church, a community of Jesus followers, a family, is to support each other in times of need. But most of all, our support comes from the Father God. And in this picture, we see what happened after the Last Supper, and is waiting to be arrested. He's aware of that, and in the stress of that situation, actually the disciples weren't there for him, but the Father God was. What makes prayer difficult for us sometimes? How can we help ourselves to pray? Some people, for example, have a prayer list. Some people have a prayer journal. A prayer journal can help because if you notice how God has been answering your prayers in the past, when you feel, well, God's not answering this particular prayer, you can remember, yeah, but if God's done that in the past, he's at work somehow or other in this situation that I can't see where things are going. And most of all, in the most scary situations, you've always got the Father God to go to. Always reliable. Can always be trusted. On your tables is a piece of paper. And there might be particular prayers that you've got today. And you might want to write as we carry on. I'm going to pick them up in a while. Not to read them, but to pray over them. But maybe there's some prayers that you'd like to write down on a piece of paper. There's pens there. Have a think about that. Particular prayer, and we will collect them in. Not to look at, but to pray over collectively. Next picture, please. There's 7 pictures in all. Any idea about this picture? Now, you've had a go, so hang on. Peter's betrayal. Excellent. Yes. Yes. Peter's betrayal. Which one do you think's Peter? It's not that easy to see, is it? Which one do you think it is? What? Jack, what do you think? The one who's standing up, maybe. There's somebody pointing a finger. I think the far right, yes, I think so. I think so, looking alarmed because being pointed at. And this picture reminds us that we may feel confident on a Sunday with our Jesus followers, but what happens in the week when somebody says, where were you on Sunday? And you go, oh, well, we went to the park. That's when the rubber hits the road. Peter was very confident that he would defend Jesus. He was so confident that he went when Jesus was arrested, he had a sword, and his sword wasn't there to chop somebody's ear off. The sword was for action. But when a young woman points a finger and says, "You're one of Jesus' followers," he's very timid. As Jesus said he would be. And sometimes we can be very timid, and we need God's help to be strong, to stand up, and to be the witness. To be the light, to be the hope, to be the soul in our community that knows nothing, or sometimes knows nothing, of the way of Jesus. But it does mean sometimes you get a finger pointed at you. Ouch. Jesus calls us and says, look, as my followers, I want you to take part in making a difference in my world. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a number of purposes for you. And we need God's encouragement and strength to do just that. On your desk or on your table, there is Play-Doh. It is not a play break. If you, please, will separate out enough small balls for each one. So there's a table in front of me of 5. If you, Lacey, separate that out into 5 small balls, and then I want to make it in a roll. Now, again, some of you are super generous, thinking about the other people who haven't got a table around them. We're going to pass you some Play-Doh, and then you can make the ball, just a small ball. Have we got...
forgot to announce about Heather's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Some people in the back haven't got Play-Doh. Jack, can I have a little bit? Give me a little bit. So when you finish, it should look something like that, round, in other words, like a football, but a baby football, tennis ball, marble. Right, good, okay. This is you. But sometimes we get a wrinkle when we don't speak up. When we say no to Jesus. When we say something rude to a work colleague. When we tell the teacher that we're not going to do the work today, you're on strike. Whoops. There's lots of things where we can go against God's best for us, and it makes us all wrinkled up. Messy. So have a go with that yourself, and just thinking about, okay, what happened this week where I didn't go God's best. What we call in the Bible is called sin. And we all get wrinkled up like that. It's a physical, with this, this is a physical expression of a spiritual reality. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus, that he died on a cross and 3 days later rose again. We thank you that when we bring our confessions to you of the things that we've messed up and gone against your will, that you promise to forgive. We bring to you the things where we've messed up this past week and ask you to forgive us. And we thank you and praise you that as we do so, you promise to forgive, and we each one accept that forgiveness now. And as we accept and give thanks for the forgiveness for us, give us a heart to forgive those people that cause us angst or frustration or annoyance. Give us hearts that are willing to forgive no matter what, because you gave everything through Jesus for us. Give us the willingness this week to go and put right anything that is not right with anybody that we know, because we want to follow in your footsteps. Amen. To express what has happened in the spiritual, in a physical way, let's get our ball and then roll it up again. And it's now back to being round and whole. Because Jesus makes us whole. Puts us right. And when it goes wonky again, and it will do, we go to Jesus and he puts us right again. Next slide, please. Slide number 5. Jesus is then taken to the cross. Partway he carries it, and partly somebody else carries it for him. How would it have been in that situation? Because it's so hard for us to really grapple with it, because A, we weren't there, obviously, but also we've heard it so many times it starts to lose its impact. But how would it have been for Mary, for example? Who would have been most distressed, Jesus, or the one carrying the cross? For his other disciples. A shocking situation to be in. I wonder who in today's world has lost hope. I wonder where the message of hope is. I wonder what our part is to play in bringing hope to a broken world. What about those Jesus followers in other nations, also mentioned in the Christianity magazine, where there is tremendous persecution? In fact, a lot of where God is particularly at work is in these countries where there is that persecution, where life is tough, really tough. And God clearly shows up very powerfully. Next slide, please. Then I'm reminding you of Good Friday again with this picture. Jesus is taken down from the cross, having died. Very traumatic scene, and the disciples and Jesus' followers seek to care for his body carefully and respectfully. Teresa of Avila wrote this: Christ has no body here on earth but yours. Because 3 days after this picture, we get the next one. Can I have the next slide? Three days later, this is Easter Sunday, they go to the tomb, and we studied this on Easter Day, and the body isn't there. Christ is risen. And you start to get testimony after testimony after testimony. One of the ones we won't be studying this time round is the 500 people who saw Jesus in one go. Testimony after testimony. Jesus is alive, and they're staggered with this. And it's really perplexing to them. Let me give you what is written in the Gospel of John. And John writes, he's one of the disciples, and he says this. This is in chapter 12, verse 16. At first, the disciples, they didn't understand all this. They just didn't get it, what was going on. But only after Jesus was glorified, that rose from the dead, returned to the wonder and glory of heaven to be with the Father God, did they realize these things. Did they put the jigsaw together, that's my words, the things written about him and these things that have been done to him. And part of our Christian walk, our journey, is to put the pieces together. To figure it out and then to live it out in the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And how we need God's Holy Spirit to live out the life, to be the life, and to be Jesus in our communities. For life, for hope, for more. And that isn't easy. A key way to do that is in home groups. A key way to do that is in our wider church community, in all the other different groups that we have. But also, very important is our own prayer. God works through prayer, and God works through His Spirit. And He's working here now, He's working here today, and each and every day. And that's wonderful. That is a wonderful message of hope, because Jesus loves us. He loves every single person. He has a passion for each one of us. He passionately cares. He passionately loves us. He passionately wants us in a personal relationship with Him. And He wants us with Him forever. So on Friday, we have the funeral of Heather Jones, the oldest member of this church. When we return from the crematorium, we will be having a service here at 11 o'clock. You're all welcome to be there. And that will be a service of thanksgiving, a service of thanksgiving and of celebration and confident hope, because we know where she is. Because Jesus tells us through the scriptures, we know where she is. She's with him in heaven. And that's a wonderful truth. And that gives us a confidence that even in persecuted places, where life is difficult, where there isn't a great career plan or pension plan, and you've got to watch out all the time, yet there is wonderful hope and vibrancy and rejoicing, because this isn't it. It's only the beginning. It's going on. Jesus is with us now, and Jesus is with us into the future. And if most of us look in here can look back and say, ah, there's Jesus at work. He's been at work. He's working now. And no matter what, he's going to carry on. And that's the confidence we have. Not in ourselves, but in Jesus. Coming to a close now, but I'd like... Is Eva, are you at the back there? Eva, can you start picking up any cards with prayers on at the back? Can you do those? You three at the front, can you do the front row and work back? Picking up any prayer cards, please. We're not going to read them, but we are going to pray over them and then add prayers to that. So we've been doing a series about the resurrection and different incidents in the resurrection. We've had a pause today, remembering all of those Easter events and bringing that together. We've also been seeking to give thanks for the blessings that we've received as a fellowship in recent times, individuals we just heard, but also together. And then in the next few weeks, we're going to continue on with the story and events of the resurrections, to plant it in our minds, to give us the confidence of that.